And I'll make this request. I know we had a few come in and welcome all the visitors. And if you will, there's a pew Bible in the pew for a King James Bible. If you use that, just because we'll all be using the same words and looking at the same words. And if we were all sitting here with a different textbook trying to learn English, we'd have trouble being on the same page with each other. So if you will use that, you can compare it with yours later if you want to. But turn with me to Psalm 68 to begin. Do you want God to get all the glory in salvation? Do you want God to have all the glory in your salvation? That's the purpose of God in all things. When we enter into heaven, the purpose of heaven is going to be that we're going to give God all the glory. He's going to receive all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. If somebody paid you, agreed with you, entered a contract with you for you to do some really difficult job for them, and you looked over all the things required, and you said, okay, I'll do it. It's a really difficult job, and you set to work on it, and you took you a while, but you did it. You finished everything you said you'd do, and you did a good job at it. You really did a nice job and finished it and knew they were going to be happy with it. They come out, look it over, and they said, yep, you couldn't have done better than what I wanted done. You did it just like you were out there. You worked late. You sweated. You toiled. You went through pain at work when you're sick, everything. And you finished it. And the person's pleased with it. And they say, come now, I'm going to give you exactly what I told you I was going to pay you. And as they're paying you for the job that you did, somebody that's just walking by comes up and says, hey, I get part of that too because I help with that job. Some stranger you don't even know. How willing would you be to give them part of that pay? How willing would you be to say, okay, well, just pay him the rest of the money because I don't know him. He didn't put his hand to it, but give him part of it. I don't think any of us would do that. God surely won't do that. God sent his son, and his son finished the work, which involved dying the cruel death of the cross to justify his people and make his people holy. And he accomplished it. And God says, I will not share my glory with another. That means you and I are not going to have any part of our salvation that we can say we contributed anything. Nothing. Can you show me that, preacher? Here's our text, Psalm 68, verse 20. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. That's what salvation of a sinner is to be saved from death. And this text is saying God is the God of that salvation. He is the one to whom it belongs to deliver his people from death. The issues of death belong to God. All the issues of death. Now, we're all going to face death, physical death, one day. God's appointed an hour, and we're going to keep that appointment, and we're going to die one of these days. But our death is far worse than just physical death. Far worse. For the sake of clarity, I divided our deaths into four, and we're going to look at the first two in some detail, and the last two are pretty easy because they're covered in the first two. But first of all, judicial legal death is a problem we have. We come into the world legally dead under God's judgment, under condemnation. We can't do anything about that. But here's the good news. Unto God the Lord belong the issues from legal death. And secondly, is spiritual death. We're born into this world with a spiritually dead nature. A nature that is dead in trespasses and sins, who cannot know God and will not bow to God. It's what we talk about when we speak about the bondage of the nature. The bondage of our nature as we come into this world is not willing to bow to God and say, "Yes, Lord, it's all of you." Won't do it. Wants some of the glory. Wants a piece of it. By nature, we're that person that walks up that had nothing to do with the work and says, "I want some of it. Give me some of that pay." Well, unto God the Lord belong the issues from spiritual death. And then thirdly, concerning our physical death, unto God the Lord belong the issues from our physical death. And then fourthly, there's what the Scripture calls the second death. After we die physically, we will meet God in judgment. And if we meet God in our sins, guilty, God will cast us out to endure the second death, which is eternal condemnation. It's a living death that never ends. It's called hell. That's the second death. But unto God the Lord belong the issues from the second death. All our deaths, the only way we can be saved is by God. The only way. Sin has caused every sinner to face these four deaths. But the good news is, unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. God came in human flesh for the purpose of saving His people from death. Go to Hebrews 2 and I'll show you that. Hebrews chapter 2, it says, verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," speaking of Christ, it says, "He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham." There's that word again. He came to die for His people. "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God." And here's what that means. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now Christ either accomplished that, delivered His people from death by reconciling us to God, or if there's something left for us to do, we're saying Christ failed. It's one of the two. Either He succeeded or He failed. That's what God said He came to do. That's what God said He did. To deliver us from death. Now, let's look at these four kinds of death. First of all, unto God the Lord belong the issues from legal death. Now, let's go back to Romans 5. Romans 5. How did we all become legally, judicially dead? How do we become condemned under the curse and condemnation of the law? How did that happen? Now listen carefully, because this is fundamental that you get this. It was by the works of another. We became legally, judicially dead, not by the works of our hand, but by the works of another. God made it that way. God set up one man named Adam who would be the father of the whole human race. And God made Adam to be the head of his wife and of all his children. So whatever Adam did, that's what all his people did. He was one with his wife, so what he did, she did. And all his children were in him, in his loins. So what he did, we did. We all came from Adam. Adam was the head of the whole human race. God says what Adam did, we did. What did Adam do? In a perfect world where there was no sin, with no sin of his own, with only one law to keep, Adam disobeyed God. That ought to end you and me thinking we can ever obey to please God and be accepted of God in something we do. Adam was in a perfect world, a sinless environment, with no sin of his own, with one law, and he broke it. And when he did, when he broke it, you broke it. I want you to enter into this just this real. You were in the garden. God gave the law to you personally. Just forget everybody else. Just forget Adam. You were in that garden personally. God gave you that law personally, and you broke that law personally. That's called headship. That's how real we were in Adam, and that's how real we broke that law in the garden. Now look at Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. There's our death. By one man. And so death passed upon all men. God imputed guilt so that we all legally died. And then in time, we all were born with Adam's nature so that guilt, sin was imparted to us. Now read on. And for that, all have sinned. That means all are guilty. We all died judicially. Look down at verse 17. Look at the middle part of the verse there. And it says, or just a few words, by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Look down at verse 18. It says, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That is, all who would be born of Adam, all his children. Look down at verse 19. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Everybody he represented was made a sinner. Now be sure to get this. This is vitally, vitally, vitally important. I have repeated this and I'll continue to repeat it. God helping me. Adam didn't give us a chance to be guilty. Adam didn't put us in a state where we could become guilty if we just exercise our will. And that's not what he did. He made us guilty. He made us sin. He made us die, legally, judicially, by what he did. By what he did. We come into the world legally dead. Now, what does that mean for us? God is holy. We have laws in the land, and we call it justice when that law is exercised. We call it injustice when that law is not carried out. God is holy. He never fails to carry out justice. God says in His Word, I will by no means clear the guilty. That means you and me have to die under the law of God. We must. We must. I wish you and I could understand this. When you go hear the gospel priest, it's not about coming in and hearing some feel-good stories about current events and how that applies to your life and how you can treat your neighbor better. There's a lot of things in the Scripture tells us how to treat our neighbor better. But the issue of the gospel has to do with righteousness. It has to do with how we're saved from our sin and the guilt of it. That's the issue. That's the issue. God says He will by no means clear the guilty. And except you have a righteousness that is as righteous as God, God won't receive us. We've got to have a perfection as perfect as God. Because He's holy. He can't have any fellowship with sinners. It's got to be perfect to be accepted. We've got to be righteous. We've got to have no sin. We've got to be holy. We've got to be perfect to be accepted of God. Why did God make Adam that representative? Why did He make him that head? Why did He make us become guilty in him? Do you want the glory for making yourself guilty? Well, that's not something we generally want the glory for. We generally don't fight over this and say, well, I want the glory for making myself guilty. Well, God made Adam the head to picture Christ, His Son, who is the last Adam. He was ahead. He made him the head and representative of all who would be born of him. He's the head of his bride, the church. And that church is made up of children, elect children that shall be born of Christ. Just like Adam died for everybody that shall be born of Adam, Christ died for everybody that shall be born of Christ. That's who he died for. Now that doesn't mean everybody, because not everybody's born of Christ. Not everybody believes on Christ. There's people who leave this earth kicking and screaming against God, and God sends them to that second death. So does that mean Christ failed? Did God love them today and then he decided, I don't love them anymore? God doesn't say he lives that way. God said, I love you with an everlasting love. That's the scripture. He says, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? What kind of love would it be if I said I loved you, but I wouldn't pray for you? If I said I loved you, but you, when you're in danger, I don't try to save you? When you got a debt, I don't try to pay it? God says in his word, if we say we have the love of God in us and we see this world's goods in our hand and we see our brother have need and we're not compassionate on him and don't do anything to help him, we're a murderer. We don't have the love of God in us. But God loves and he loves everlastingly. See, nothing was done by chance. God, before this world was made, chose his son to be the head of a bride. He chose a bride for his son. And he made that bride up of all these chosen sinners that he gave to his son. And his son said, I will take full responsibility for all of them. It's called a covenant of redemption, a covenant of grace. He said, I will do everything necessary to bring them to you, righteous and holy and perfect. And this is the gospel. The gospel is a hearing about how Christ did this for us. This is what God people want to hear. While the world wants to go to church and hear about how they can get a Dr. Phil sermon, basically just telling you some psychology on why you are the way you are, God's people want to hear about what Christ did. We come to hear about God's works. We come to hear about what he accomplished for us. We want him to have all the glory. We don't want the glory. And that, in turn, constrains you in your heart to want to serve him and honor him from a new spirit rather than that old legal mercenary accusing and excusing spirit. It gives you a new spirit, a loving spirit. So he chose this people. Listen, let me, if you want to jump over to Ephesians 1, I'd like you to see this, verse 3. Speaking to believers, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In heavenly places, it's all spiritual blessings. If you're a believer, God blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then verse 7 says, Christ came, and in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Be sure to get this. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you don't like this statement, then take that up with God. But Christ didn't fail. He came to save a particular people, and he saved them. He came to bear the particular sin of a particular people and answer to justice for that sin, and he did it. He did it. A man would accomplish nothing if he walked in a courtroom and he said, I just want to die for everybody's offenses. Well, whose offenses you want to die for? We got men on death row here. You want to die for one of them, or you just want to die for this guy who stole a pickle? Which one you want to pay the debt for? You know, I mean, there's a difference. It's no ambiguous, I'm just going to die. It's he came to die for particular sinners that were on death row to answer justice for those particular sinners. Verse 17, he satisfied justice. Romans 5:17, I'm sorry, go back there. He satisfied justice. Look at this. Now, I'll read it all together here. If by one man's offense death reign by one, much more they which receive. That means they're given from God abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. They shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He did it. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. Everybody Adam represented, everybody that would be born of Adam, died in Adam. Even so, by the righteousness of one, not my righteousness, not your righteousness, Christ's righteousness. By His righteousness, the free gift came upon all men. Everybody He died for, everybody He represented, everybody that should be born of Him. Justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The law entered that the offense might abound. It entered to show you how bad we are. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So Christ, to Christ, belong the issues from our legal death. And He came and He accomplished our salvation from that legal death. For everybody He died, He accomplished that legal salvation from that legal death. He did it. Now, secondly, unto God the Lord belong the issues from spiritual death. What are you saying, preacher? Well, Adam's nature was corrupted by sin. When he sinned against God, he became guilty, and God took his spirit from him. And Adam didn't die physically right then, but Adam right then, what was the first thing he did after God took his spirit from him? When he heard the voice of God, well, before he heard the voice of God, what did he do? He started trying to work out a righteousness for himself. He started trying to cover his nakedness with fig leaves. And as soon as he heard God's voice, did he think he had done a good enough job? No, he didn't. He took off and ran and hid in the trees. Why? Because he told God, because I knew I was naked. Well, you got fig leaves on, Adam. Oh, no. Before God, I was still naked. I broke His law. See, God's got to come to where you are. He's got to come find you hiding in the trees. Called the first church of this and that, and the first church of this and that, steeped in your religious work, steeped in everything you're doing to try to please God, and all your fig leaves. He's got to find you there. And He's got to say, why are you hiding in all this mess? And He'll make you honest, and you'll say, because, Lord, I know I'm naked. How do you know He'll do this? He has to do this. Because 1 Corinthians 2:4 says, the natural man, that's how we're born the first time, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. We're not spiritual by nature. We're coming to this world born of a man, and so we're carnal. And we can't understand spiritual things. We won't understand spiritual things. Every time a sinner comes in and hears the gospel preached in truth and walks out without believing on Christ and giving God all the glory, he proves he's a natural man and everything he heard is foolishness to him. That's why Christ told Nicodemus. Nicodemus had a bunch of fig leaves on. He was a ruler in Israel. He was somebody. People looked at him like he was. They, when they saw him coming down the street, they said, now there's somebody. And he comes to our Lord Jesus Christ, and he starts spouting off his religion, and our Lord said, let me tell you something you need to understand. Till you're born of God, you can't see me. You can't believe on me. You don't have any idea who I am. And then what he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And Christ is the kingdom of God. He's the king of that kingdom. You can't see him till you're born of God. Now, what did you have to do with your first birth? What did you have to do with your first birth? I didn't have nothing to do with it. Not a thing. Well, God gets the glory in this too. Unto God the Lord belong the issues from spiritual death. If we're going to be saved from our spiritual death, God's going to do it. Christ purged the sin of His people when He went to the cross. He accomplished their redemption. He paid the wages we owe to the law. For each person He died for, He gave the law everything the law demanded. He answered to its justice. He was forsaken of God for them so they wouldn't have to be. He paid that. That's justice. We don't just punish random people for nothing. We punish the person that's guilty. Christ took our sin, the sin of His particular people. He became the guilty one in place of that guilty one. And for each one He died for, He paid the wages of sin, which is death. And He did it. And that act of doing that was the righteous fulfillment of the law. That was love to God and love to His people. He fulfilled the positive and the negative of the law right there on the cross. And what did He cry out? It is finished. So, that means if He did that work and saved me and satisfied justice for me, and yet I come into this world and I'm a natural man who don't know God and can't know God, and can't make myself be born again, the issue from this spiritual death is not in my hands, is it? But guess what? Since He satisfied justice for me, He's going to see to it I'm brought under this gospel. And I hear this good news, and He's going to make me be born again. I had this illustration. If you were to go to death row, and you said, I'm going to take the place of that inmate right there. I'm going to die for that inmate right there. And they say, okay, he's sentenced to die tomorrow. You show up tomorrow, they strap you down or shoot you up or however they do it, and they execute you. Justice is satisfied toward that man. He's paid what he owed. You paid it for him. So you know what the next step has to be? Somebody has to go to that jail cell and open up his cell and let him out. So he can go. His sentence has been paid. It's done. And if they don't open that jail cell, if they take him and say, now we're going to make you die too, that ain't justice. That's double jeopardy. That's punishing the same man twice. The gospel is about how God is righteous. Romans 3 says Christ came to manifest the righteousness of God, how God is just, and He is the justifier of the believer. So what I'm saying is to you, the reason I'm setting this up like this, because now that He's justified us, saved us from that legal death, He also gets the glory to come and open the prison and save us from our natural death. In Isaiah 49:9, God said, I've given Christ for a covenant of the people. And He said to Christ that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourself. God raised Him from the dead and gave Him the glory of sending this. He's the head of the church that He might fill all in all. And He sends the gospel. If you're here today, this is how you're going to be born again if He does it. He goes to put you under the gospel. The gospel is the living word. Christ is the living word. His word, He's the one that gives life to His word. And the first time you were born, it was corruptible seed from your sinful daddy. But being born of Him, this word's incorruptible. And creates a new nature, a holy nature, a new spirit that He puts in you. Listen, He said in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's not an accident for any of us to be here today. God don't make accidents. There's no such thing as luck. God's sovereign and He's ruling everything in this world. And He brought you here. You're hearing the truth of God today. Either God will bless it to be a savor of life unto life or a savor of death unto death. There's no middle ground when you hear the gospel. You're either going to bow and believe it, or you're going to say, I hate that. But you know how you're going to be saved from that spiritual death of hating this word? The only way is by God. Unto God belong the issues from death. Not to you, not to me. Well, preacher, I had a preacher tell me I just need to exercise my will. That's how to be born again. He ain't ever been born again. That's why he told you that. You met a false prophet who told you a lie. I'm telling you the truth. You must be born again. You have as much to do with this new birth as you did with your first birth. And if you have anything to do with it, you get some glory in it. And God said, that ain't happening. I get the glory. But what I'm saying to you, everybody he justified, he's going to send this gospel and he's going to call them, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's Ephesians 1:5. He predestinated you to come under this gospel. And he said, and because you're sons, because God's redeemed you, because you're sons, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, therefore you're no more a servant anymore. You're a son. And if you're a son, you're an heir of God. As many as received him, he came to Israel, most of them rejected him. But as many as received him, as many as said, we believe you, we trust you. To them, he gave the privilege to become the sons of God. He said, you're sons of God. How did they receive him? How did they have faith to receive him? John 1:13 says they were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Preacher, what about my faith? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Lest I start saying, well, what about my faith? So God gives you that too. Well, is there nothing I produce? What can a dead man produce? Nothing. God gives life, he gives a new spirit, he gives a new will, he gives faith, he gives repentance. He makes you to quit looking to you and look to Christ and say, there's my salvation. Unto him belongs issues from death. Now, these next two points I'll go real quick. Unto God the Lord belong the issues from physical death. We're saved from death a lot of times through our life. Paul called it deaths often. He said he saved us from deaths often. Things we don't even recognize, things we don't even see. Some of them you probably do remember in your life where God had to have done that or I'd have died. Nobody's going to die. No, this thing a reporter saying, well, he died an untimely death or he died before his time. Ain't no such a thing. People die at God's appointed hour. And if he heals you today, that's good, but it's just a little while, you're going to die again. You're going to die. But here's the thing about that. If he's saved you from legal death, and he saved you from spiritual death, you're not going to die. Oh, you're going to lay down this body of death, this old nature that you got from Adam that's nothing but sin, never will be sin, is not getting better, and is not any good. It's why you got to put perfume on it all the time, because it stinks. It's going to go back to the dust. But this is what the Lord said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he has everlasting life. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He said, whoever liveth and believes on me shall never die. Believer, we don't have a reason to fear death. We don't have a reason. He came to deliver us from it, and he has for his people. We have this old nature with us that will make us a little fearful when we face death, but God's not going to let that dominate you. He's going to give you dying grace when you need it. Why? Because he's told us we're confident and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The minute you close your eyes, you open them in glory. Just like on a hard day's work, when you lay down at night, as soon as your head hits a pillow, it seems like the alarm clock goes off. Well, as soon as you close your eyes, you're going to wake up and be with Christ. He saves us from that death. Can you save yourself from physical death? Well, then let that be an answer to you. You can't save yourself from legal death, and you can't save yourself from spiritual death either. And one day he's coming back and he's going to raise our vile bodies that they be fashioned like to his glorious body. We're not just going to be spirits floating around on clouds. We're going to have real bodies and be in a real heaven and a real earth, like much like this one, except there won't be any sin whatsoever. And he said, and when that happens, death will be swallowed up in victory. And he said, thanks be to God who gave us the victory through Christ Jesus. He did it. Now lastly, you see, along with saving us from legal death, and along with saving us from spiritual death, he saved his people already from the second death. If I meet God at Judgment Day without Christ, the second death is death that comes from God's judgment. It's being found not having the righteousness God required. And God will say, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity, I never knew you. No matter how hard you worked in religion, no matter what you did, God will say, I never knew you. That's what Christ said. But if you have Christ and you're robed in His righteousness and you've been made holy and perfect in Him, the Scripture says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That means you were raised when Christ was raised from the dead. It means when He created life in you, regenerated you, you were raised from the dead of death of your spiritual nature. You partook of that first resurrection. And he that hath part in that first resurrection, on such, the second death has no power. You won't die that death. Unto the Lord belong the issues from death. You know what else it means? We're dead to the law. When you've died under, when we've executed a man and he's died, and we don't go out to his grave when they buried him out by the prison, we don't go out there and say, now we found some more laws you're guilty of. He's dead. He paid the ultimate price. He's dead to the law now. The law has nothing to say to it. Romans 7 says, Christ made us to be dead to the law. All death. He has the issues of all death. He made us dead to the law. That's good news, brethren. That means Christ is our life. What this believer is going to show today, she's professing Christ. She's going to profess that she believes that when Christ died, she died. And she was buried. Her old man of sin, that part of her that God hated, that sinful part, died under the justice of God and was buried out of sight. That's what's going to be pictured by her being submersed entirely in water. We bury people in the ground. This is a watery grave. And when she comes up out of that watery grave, she's going to be professing that when Christ arose, she arose in Him to newness of life. Newness of life is your life being in Christ at God's right hand. Newness of life is having a new heart to where now you don't take people to the letter of the Word of God and try to condemn them with it. Now you restore and love and forgive and hope all things and believe all things and endure all things. That's love. That's obedience. That's trusting and obeying. And that's what she's confessing she's doing. I pray that Lord, I help you see today that He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. That means to God be the glory. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You. Thank You that You didn't leave salvation in the hands of sinners. Thankful, Lord, that You've been clear in Your Word to show us that You do everything involved in salvation. How simple You declare it. Salvation is of the Lord. And we want to add to that and we want to take a part in that. Lord, make us see You do everything in our salvation. Make us rejoice in that. Make us bow. Make us remember what vile, wretched sinners we are, so that we will indeed walk in newness of spirit. Help us, Lord. We're sinners and we're going to sin and we do sin and we hate our sin. Lord, deliver us from it and keep us looking to You. Forgive us for where we've made others stumble. Forgive us where we make others become overtaken. And Lord, help us to love one another. Help us to trust Christ, to teach and instruct and bow to Him, be the head. We ask this, Lord, giving You all the glory and the honor and the praise. And we thank You for this new believer. Be with her, keep her, instruct her, and let us be helps to her. Lord, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, yeah.